thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
84.
Here's John Williams.
What was I thinking? It's 212. Thank you, Steve. This is John Williams. We're here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue.
Lord,
all the way until 3 o'clock. It's just a little two-hour show, and one topic continues to come up again and again. It's what's going on in Washington, D.C. And while we'll touch on that in this half hour, we also wanted to talk about the Chicago police announcing a new policy on the use of force. Both of those topics we can touch on with Lori Lightfoot, the former federal prosecutor. I had questions for her about charges that the president could face, but also she's the president of the Chicago Police Board and was at that announcement earlier today. Lori, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good, John. Happy to be on your program.
Let's talk about the use of force by the police and these new rules of engagement. So what's changed now?
Well, I think first that what we've got to cite is the process by which the department got to this new policy, which was really unprecedented and I think really augurs towards a much more transparent and inclusive process. As you may recall, the department put out its use of force redraft last fall. Gave the public 45 days to weigh in and make comments, and they got a significant amount of feedback, not only from members of the general public, but from individual officers, and they conducted focus groups, and then integrated that feedback into a redraft of the department of the policy, which they put out again in mid-January, opened it up for even more comments, and then led to this final policy. That's historic in Chicago. I can't think of another time in my 30 years being here where the police department has undergone a major revision in such a core policy like use of force, and they have engaged in the kind of outreach and transparency that has happened under Superintendent Johnson with this particular use of force policy.
Got it.
For that alone, they got it. They should be commended.
I still need to know what the difference is like on the street. Does this make it maybe more difficult for or gives the cops a little more pause if they use physical force or their weapons?
I don't think so. I think the training is going to be critically important, and they're going to put every single member of the department through a four-hour training course that will go on beginning now through the early fall. That training, I think, is going to be critically important to highlight the differences between the old use of force policy and to really start them thinking about ways in which they can better engage the public to de-escalate circumstances and, frankly, protect themselves from
any kind of injury
or harm.
Well, I think really, that idea of de-escalation is good. I think every police force in America needs to understand it. And by the way, if the cops are angry or if they are using force, because sometimes that's just the way their job has to be done, I think we all need to respect or almost appreciate that. It's a very difficult job to do. But by the same token, that seems to have too often been the only tool in their chest. And there are times where if instead of using volume or whatever, they would just chill the whole thing out, that would go better for them, too.
Well, I think that's right. And you know, what I've consistently heard from officers that I know or officers that approach me at different events is that they want training. They want to know where the lines are being drawn, and they want to be supported when they're doing their job every day. You hit the nail on the head. They have a very, very difficult job. In the millions of encounters that police have every year with members of the public, we want to make sure that they have the right training, the right tools to use to make sure that those encounters are safe for everybody involved, and that, frankly, members of the public have confidence in our police department.
Can you give me just one example, though? Like, imagine a scenario on the street where an officer is going to use the new rules versus the old method.
Well, let me focus on the topic that we talked about, which is de-escalation. Officers have already gone through de-escalation. They'll get more of that training. But they have to recognize that the way in which they conduct themselves, the way in which they the words that they use, the tone that they use, the volume that they use, all of that adds to whether or not that's a circumstance that's going to end peacefully or whether or not there's going to be force that's necessary. So emphasizing using the time and distance techniques of de-escalation, I think, is going to be critically important. And hopefully will be a difference maker. I mean, what we have to do and what the department has to do is once they've gone through the training and the policy goes live, they need to measure whether or not the encounters between officers and the public are ending up in a situation where both parties leave feeling like they've accomplished what they need to accomplish in a way that is respectful.
I can imagine some officers don't like the fact that you're asking them to mamby-pamby people that are either breaking the law or at least not cooperating.
Well, we're not asking them to basically go soft on what they do. Every circumstance is going to be unique. Every circumstance is going to require different kinds of skills and tools to make sure that they get people compliant and that they fulfill their responsibility. But that's the point. Every situation is different. And to make sure that you understand how this situation might be different from one that you just had or one that you might have in the future, you have to have the right policy and you have to have the right training and the right tools to be able to do that. And I think the policy that's been announced today gives very much clear guidance for individual officers, but that's got to then be reinforced with the training. We're not saying to officers, look, if somebody's out there and is engaging in violent or threatening conduct that's out there in the street, that requires a different level of force. But if somebody is in a near traffic situation, that doesn't require, you know, guns and sirens. So understanding how to differentiate between the extremes of encounters and everything else in between is what this policy is intended to address.
Different topic now. You are a former federal prosecutor, correct?
Yes, I am.
So we've just been reading a little bit about what Donald Trump said or may not have said to James Comey in a meeting some time ago. And we're all trying to figure out what constitutes either a criminal offense or maybe obstruction of justice. What's your read on the president if, in fact, he asked James Comey to go easy on the General Flynn investigation?
Well, look, I think we don't know enough of the facts, and that's what the committees are duly charged to investigate. And I've heard reports from the Senate committee in particular that they're going to be asking those tough questions. I think it's a little premature to be talking about obstruction of justice or what sanctions might befall anyone before we really know what the facts. I think we need to hear from James Comey. I think we need to look at those that apparently it's called a 302. What the 302 says that memorialized his contemporaneous discussion with the president. I think we need to understand from his perspective what his takeaway was. You know, people can say and do all sorts of things, but we need to understand the context and the circumstances, and we don't know that yet. We know a little bit of the facts, but we haven't heard from the two people that were involved in the conversation. So I think, you know, certainly my training as a former federal prosecutor, my lawyer's training tell me we need to get to the facts first before we start making judgments and pronouncements about what the next step should be. And we're just not there yet.
Well, that sounds like sound advice. Can you tell me, though, what obstruction of justice is?
Well, it's an intent to thwart. First, you have to have knowledge that there's an investigation going on. You have to do something affirmative to try to thwart that investigation and instruct its ability to get to the facts, to get to the truth. It's intentionally a high threshold. It's not a casual conversation. It's not a I wish. It's an intent, a specific act or a mission that is intended to undermine the progress or the integrity in investigation. And it should be a high threshold. And again, we don't know what the facts are. So talking about obstruction, I think is premature because we just don't know enough of the details yet.
I understand that, Lori. But, you know, as you described this sort of definition of obstruction of justice, most people listening to you were ticking off the points as they understand it in this news story. And when you said action, they said fire James Comey. So that was the action. And then there was maybe his expressed intent, if that memo by the former FBI director is true. And again, I want you to know, I appreciate what you said about none of us being there and better that we wait until all of the details come out. But I'm trying to get an operating knowledge here of what obstruction of justice is. And what you've described, I think, fits the narrative people are at least hearing in the news so far.
Look, the facts that have been reported about the circumstances that led to the termination of Director Comey, the new revelations that have come out this week, there's no question that those are troubling. And I think that the American public should demand specific answers And I think that that's happening. We have mechanisms set up. Both of the committees in the House and the Senate are going to look at these issues. And I think if they don't, they won't have any credibility. And I think that certainly there will be appropriate ways in which there's got to be accountability about what's happened. Our institutions of government, and particularly the FBI and the Department of Justice, have to be independent. They absolutely have to be outside of, above the political fray, and they cannot be unduly influenced by anyone's agenda other than getting to the truth and making sure that we're doing justice. If those are compromised in any way, it undermines the integrity of the entire judicial system at every level, or justice system, I should say, at every level. What's happened, at least as it's been reported, is very troubling. And we need to make sure that the FBI is totally independent, that these investigations go forward in an unfettered way, and that they follow the facts where the facts lead.
Last question. What would your advice be to the president today?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm in the right position to give advice to the president, but I think that the rule of law is critically important in our country. There's got to be respect for the rule of law. And I think that the president and his team would be well served to stay out of the fray, let these investigations take their course, and let the chips fall where they may. But the public, you know, the public expects that the president is going to be focused on the most critical issues confronting us, the economy, jobs, infrastructure, keeping Americans safe. And that's what, if I were asked to give advice, I'd say focus on that, because those are the things that people want change on. The rest of this situation regarding the Russia investigation, and what's been lost in the fray is, The intelligence community, I think, is uniform in saying that the Russians tried to interfere with a core part of our democracy. Aside from all the politics, we got to focus on that. That is something that's unacceptable. We've got to get to the bottom of it. We've got to find out specifically what was done, and then we've got to take appropriate action to send a very clear message to the Russians that they cannot interfere with our core elements of our democracy, and that if they dare to do so, that there would be serious consequences to follow. And in all the politics, that central focus, which should be the central focus of the investigation, seems to get lost. And I think that's a problem. We got to get back to that focus.
Lori Lightfoot's a former federal prosecutor, can you tell? And also current president of the Chicago Police Board. Well done, Lori. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's 224. This is WGN.